certainly is a Friday. It looks a little threatening outside, but it is Grand Prix weekend, and it is going to be a great weekend. Everybody's out in the streets, and I mean everybody, no matter what they're out there for. Some are having fun, some are talking, some are protesting, whatever, but it's all happening in Montreal. Good afternoon to you, Suzanne Desautels. And sitting in for Rick Peterson today, we have Dan Delmar joining us once again.
Oh, hey.
Hey there, Dan.
How's it going?
Good, good, good. And we also have, of course, on a Friday afternoon, 1 o'clock, we have Carmi Levy. And Carmi, I guess number one on our list of Tech Talk today. Of course, Carmi is a technology analyst for Yahoo Canada. He's a writer, a journalist, and in fact, he's got an article in today's business section of the Toronto Star on exactly this topic. I guess we've got to start with LinkedIn and eHarmony.
This was the week of the password breach. LinkedIn is on everyone's lips. Before we go any deeper, I just want to make sure that, you guys, if you have LinkedIn accounts and if anyone else is listening has a LinkedIn account, if you haven't updated your password yet, go do that now. We'll wait here for you to do that.
I did mine yesterday, actually.
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. Thank goodness.
I haven't.
I don't want to start getting banned from you. Oh, Suzanne, go.
Okay. I was just like, okay, whatever. It wasn't all that important, I didn't think.
So what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Where are these passwords going to go, and what information can they access?
See, the scary thing is, I heard from a lot of people who said, I have a LinkedIn account, but I don't use it a lot, so I don't really need to change my password. I don't worry so much if it's breached. But here's the thing. A lot of people, we're our own worst enemies when it comes to passwords. We may use the same password for multiple systems, or we may use insecure passwords that they're named after our pet, or, 123456, things like that. Like, just passwords that anyone could easily guess. And so if you're using the same one for not just LinkedIn, but say for your Gmail account, for your online banking, for every online service that you've got, well, once the hackers have that account and they know who you are, they can just as easily go over to Gmail and try to break in there. So it's not just one service. It's not just LinkedIn that's now vulnerable. Now it's everything that we use online, and we've got to take precautions to make sure that those accounts are also secured.
Yeah, but Carmi, I mean, when you have millions of passwords that are all of a sudden leaked online like that, I mean, do you just pull one out of the hat and try to hack in to all these other people's things? It just seems like the numbers are a little overwhelming to me.
They are. I mean, they're throwing around numbers like 6.5 million for LinkedIn alone, something like 8 million between LinkedIn and eHarmony. And it is overwhelming until you realize what the hackers are going to do with it once all that information's been made public. A little bit of automation, some programming, some scripting, and essentially what they can do is they can use what's called a brute force attack to sort of take that list and start cross-referencing it against all the popular online services, so Facebook, Twitter, Gmail, and they can just basically hammer these services until they break into an account, yours, mine, anyone's. And so it's not so much that the passwords have been made public, it's what happens afterward, what the hackers are going to do with it. They're going to use those criminal skills of theirs, those brilliant criminal skills, to do something else, maybe launch identity theft attacks, maybe break into our bank accounts. And so we're kind of waiting for the second wave, and we've already seen a few examples of identity theft attacks on other accounts. So that's really the thing. It's not the fact that they were leaked from LinkedIn. It's what comes next.
Okay, now I'm scared.
Yeah, I got to change all my. I use a lot of the same passwords. It's a very complicated password, so it's not hard, easy to guess. But I feel I should start, using different ones for every website, which it gets overwhelming. I won't be able to remember them all.
That's the whole problem. How do we come up with all these new passwords all the time?
And that is the problem. Is we have a million different services that we all subscribe to, and it is a password best practice to update them at least once a month. So every month makes. Really, because, look at LinkedIn. LinkedIn is now compromised. So, the way to close that door back up is by changing your password. You want to make sure, because you never really know if someone has your password. If I log into my Gmail account, I really have no idea if someone, in fact, has stolen it or not. Actually, I had a bit of a wake-up call about a month ago. It was about a week after I'd updated my password, and I got an advisory saying that someone in Mexico had tried to log into my account, and if I feel this is not valid, then by all means, go, it recommended that I change my password, which I did so immediately. So, not that anyone would find anything in my inbox, but it scared me enough that I went and changed it ahead of my cycle.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's hard to remember, but, write it down on a piece of paper, use Post-it notes, whatever you have to do. There are even applications that allow us to manage our passwords because we've been making it so convenient for ourselves by using the same ones and easy to remember ones that at the same time, we've been making it easier for the hackers to break in.
Okay, that's a familiar sound. Sounding voice. Of course, you know that that's CeeLo Green, and the name of that song is Bright Lights. He's in town.
He is. He's Grand Prix festivities.
Absolutely. Happening tonight at the Arena nightclub, which is in the Old Forum.
It is.
That's very cool. CeeLo Green in town. There's a lot of people in town, including David Guetta. We'll hear a little bit more about him and find out where he's going to be over the weekend. Right now, 120 CJD time. We're talking to Carmi Levy. Carmi is our technology analyst as for us, as well as for Yahoo Canada. And it's got an important article in today's Toronto Star on the LinkedIn, the leaked passwords this past week from eHarmony and LinkedIn, and what you should be watching out for. But Carmi, we want to talk about something else right now.
Carmi, a really interesting story about iPads and how iPads are taking the stress out of traveling. Tell us about that and about where else iPads are being used, because it seems like they're being used in the medical field, a little bit everywhere.
Yeah, the iPad really has become the new device that everyone seems to want to integrate into their, you know, client-facing, point-of-sale, retail environment. And for good reason, because it's like it's a blank slate, right? All it is a slab of glass, and basically, depending on the app that you install on it, it can do whatever you want. So, of course, if you're a retailer or if you're an airport or a hospital, you'll love that kind of thing because it gives you a huge amount of flexibility. And then when you hand them out to your employees or you make them accessible to your customers, everyone's familiar with how they work. Just point at it, touch it. You know, an iPad is a very universal device, so you don't have to train anyone. And so it allows you to raise levels of customer service. Doesn't cost a huge amount of money compared to the kinds of stuff that was available previously. You had to buy custom-made hardware and custom-made software. So it really is revolutionizing the way things work. We're starting to see them pop up. I was flying a couple weeks ago, and I was flying through actually Chicago O'Hare Airport, and I noticed that some restaurants were using it.
Yeah,
for menus,
You know, yeah, which is just really cool because then you know you don't have to wait for some overworked server to come and find you. You can place your order. It makes everything more efficient. You're tired, they're tired. It speeds things up. It probably reduces their costs, which, of course, keeps us, we know airports can be expensive places to do business, so anything that streamlines is a good thing. And it keeps everyone happy. It's one of those that's like, wow, they're using an iPad for this. That is neat.
I have a very important question about that. If we're ordering our food through the iPad and then it's being delivered to us, how do we tip on that?
Well, good question. we'll see if they get it right, and we'll see if they still smile when they bring it to us. That's still an important component to the delivery. So I still think the 15 to 20% rule applies.
Okay,
they
Carmi.
Still have to earn it.
Thank you.
I want to talk about one social network that I never really understood, and that is Foursquare. It allows you to check into places, right? I mean, you can explain it better than I can, Carmi, but is Foursquare still relevant? There's some news that maybe it's kind of on the decline this year.
They're revamping it, aren't they?
Well, it is, yeah. They announced a really big update this week. And Foursquare basically is you go somewhere, you have an app on your phone, on your BlackBerry, your iPhone, your Android device, and you go somewhere. So you go to a hockey game, and you show up at the Bell Center, and you say, okay, I'm at the Bell Center. I'm checking in at the Bell Center. And the app allows you to see, okay, who else is checking at the Bell Center? Are my friends here? How many other people are here? And if you go to the Bell Center for every single game, you might, in fact, become the mayor of the Bell Center, which is, like, really cool because you get to share where you are with all your friends. You know where everyone else is, or where everyone else is. The creepy thing about it is now everyone knows where you are, and everyone knows that you're not home. So I think it was very popular for a while, and I think a lot of people thought it was really cool. It's sort of one of those location-based services that everyone's been talking about for the last year. But now, as everyone starts to get more concerned about things like privacy, I think they're starting to say, maybe it's not such a great thing. So Foursquare is trying to update its service by not just being a check-in service, but by trying to use all that information to enhance our experiences when we go out. But, I mean, from where I sit, I don't want the whole world knowing what I'm up to every minute of the day.
Oh, okay. As long as they don't know it without you actually telling them through Twitter or Facebook or whatever. And speaking of Facebook, of course, we're talking to Carmi Levy, our technology analyst. Speaking about Facebook, it's back in the news. It's thinking about allowing people under the age of 13 or under the age of 14 to open accounts, as if they don't have them already. But Carmi Levy is not only just a technology analyst, he's also a dad. And we'll get him to tell us what he thinks about that in just a moment. It is 127 CJD time. We're talking to our tech guru, my personal tech guru, Carmi Levy. Carmi, Facebook is looking into the idea of allowing children under the age of 13 to have accounts, as if some of them don't already. But what is this all about?
7.5 million of them, by one company's estimate, already have an account, and one of them is my son.
How old is
11.
He? 11? Okay.
11. And he's had an account for a little over a year, and we hemmed and hawed and really thought long and hard about it before we decided to let him have it. But we did so with and the reason being network pressure, right? All of his friends had it, and if he wanted to be part of his peer group, because that was the medium they were using to communicate, well, then he had to have access to it as well. Now, granted, we didn't just give it to him because all of his friends had it, but that certainly did push him and us in that direction. We laid down a whole bunch of rules. We have access to his account. We have his username and his password. We review all of his traffic. We read his wall. Nothing is unseen from us. And there are some very specific rules about what is acceptable and is not. And what happens, basically, he gets cut off if he breaches those rules.
But he's only 11. Technically, Facebook says he can't have an account.
Sure. I'm sure someone from Facebook's hearing this now, and they're already dialing up my number. So I think I'm in trouble. But, you know, the reality is I think Facebook recognizes that even though they set this arbitrary limit of 13, that younger kids are using it, and they want to start cashing in on that. Because they're generating a lot of traffic. My kids use the system fairly extensively, and Facebook cannot sell advertising based on that group because officially they don't exist. So if Facebook comes up with some way to give parents greater levels of control and then opens up the service to kids who are under 13, then it can go to advertisers and say, hey, you know what? We have this great group of activity. We can sell you ads that can help you reach them. So it's a very commercial driver here. The company wants to make money off of a group that right now is flying below the radar.
Carmi, real quick, how does your son feel about you snooping on his Facebook profile?
I think I'm in trouble when I get home. I probably shouldn't have opened up my mouth. And I think the grandparents are listening. I think I'm in trouble with them, too.
Okay, Carmi Levy. He's a tech analyst for Yahoo Canada. He's with us every Friday at 1 o'clock. And, Carmi, you have a great weekend. We're going to be enjoying Grand Prix here. I hope you're going to have a good weekend in London.
I will. Just protect your ears and enjoy yourself.
Absolutely. Carmi Levy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.